the tabletop takeaway.
Game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop takeaway.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. This is our bonus episode on racing games. I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
I'm Charlie McCarron.
All right, so we've covered a few different games over this series, ranging from Heat, Pedal to the Metal, Robo Rally, Transformers. And last but not least, of course, is...
Thunder Road Vendetta.
Perfect. Thank you, Charlie. I'm like, Mad Max. Nope, that's not the one. Nope. Let's not call it that. Yep. That's not exactly not what it is. Just like Nemesis is definitely not Aliens. Yep. So, racing is a really fascinating thing to pursue as a game. And I think we discovered in the last episode that we were pursuing how we can find mechanics that make racing feel like racing.
Yeah.
Right? So we're diving into the theme more than a mechanic specifically. But we're finding the mechanics that help drive the engine of our cars.
Yeah.
In a racing game.
Yeah. So I guess we started talking a little bit last time about some mechanics that go well with racing
right.
as a theme and are maybe somewhat defining of the genre. I think a big one is catch-up mechanics.
And not mustard mechanics. I wanted to make that joke so many times, but I held back, no. but I held back until now.
Thank
so,
you.
So here we are. We can move on.
But yeah, so like in the games that we looked at, Heat has, of course, slipstreams. There's a bonus for last place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Robo Rally Transformers.
You're not in the bumping of or like the pushing around. You're able to catch up to people.
Yeah, there was also one of the upgrades that I drew that I was very happy about. Let me teleport to a checkpoint that someone else had got to already.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
now
I was holding that in reserve.
Oh.
But,
And I had the opposite of that.
That's the bullet in Mario Kart.
Yeah, move the checkpoint to somewhere else a few spaces away, which everyone hated. But
I
thought it was
that.
Hilarious.
I thought that was great because it got closer to me.
Yeah.
I think the main one is if you're a bit out of sync because you're behind, other people are going to get sort of all clogged up at the... At the checkpoint, and that'll give you a chance to catch up to them.
Well, you know, Robo Rally also has a little bit of a bumping mechanic in it too, but you get to choose how you bump. So if you end up on the space of someone else, you can kind of choose where you're going to go, right? Or is that just my character?
That must have been your character.
That might have been my character. I think I had a special ability where I could use people as ramps.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Which was really fun.
Yeah. And then in Thunder Road, the catch-up mechanic is kind of similar to Cosmic Encounter in a way in that attention from other players will prevent you from getting too far ahead. Like the motorcycle
that
everyone
shot
just
off.
Mobbed with helicopters.
Yep. He had a good combination of things happen for that first motorcycle, and then we spent all of our dice trying to kill him.
Yeah. Yep. But it also has that thing where dice from dead cars can be used from other cars to coast.
I feel like one overarching thing that's good to have in a race game is not knowing exactly what your opponents are going to do is pretty helpful. So, like, obviously, Robo Rally, we didn't see what the programs were going to be until they revealed. Heat, you don't know how far they're going to try to go. Thunder Road, it's just not impossible to predict where your cars are going to end up.
Also, most of their movement is going to be bumping.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm trying to imagine a race game. Maybe there's some out there where it's more open information about, like, okay, I'm going to move here, then I know they're going to move here. But
like perfect information strategy racing game? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a thought.
I think I might amend that a little bit to say that it's not just not knowing what your opponents are going to do, but I think part of it is caring a lot about what your opponents are going to do and trying to guess at what it is.
Yeah.
Because like in Heat, it matters a huge amount because you can slipstream if you guess what they're going to do.
Right.
In Robo Rally, if you can guess what they're going to do, you can avoid your plans being disrupted by them. And in Thunder Road, it's kind of hard to know what they're going to do, but if you can guess who they're going to go after. You can try to not be that person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, which is really just to say that they need to be interactive.
Yeah.
And I think some level of making decisions or have, like, being presented with tools and then not being able to change those tools for a minute. So you've created your hand, your dice pool, whatever it is, and that's it for a little while, right? And so you can strategize with what you have, but you're not, like, constantly changing it up, constantly moving things, getting new hands. I really like that you can, between both programming and with, like, the dice placement of Thunder Road, you can really start to, you have some options, but you're not unlimitedly available to do things. And there's not a lot of hidden information in Thunder Road. Yeah. Other than how things are revealed and the board has hidden information.
Yeah.
And I think actually that's what creates a lot of tension for me in that game is like those hazards I at first thought weren't going to be too bad. And then they got real bad real quick.
Yeah.
And then being able to manipulate hazards like both Charlie and Ananda. Ananda could create hazards and Charlie could eat them and poop them out.
Yep. I'm wondering now, like, are we thinking too narrowly about racing games? Like, we're thinking, what I wonder about is, like, okay, thinking about video game racing games.
Sure.
Tests a totally different skill, as often, like, video games and board games do, but other games there might be more overlap. Racing video games are pretty much purely about your physical skill taking... There's some strategy on paths you take or whatever, to use weapons or whatever. But yeah, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, you know, simulating racing in like a console environment, like with a PlayStation or an Xbox or something, is a very different experience from playing a board game that's based on racing. I don't know how easy it would be to have a dexterity-based racing game. On the tabletop world.
Isn't
flicking
pitch cars? Or there's a game called...
Yeah, you're flicking them and there's ramps and stuff, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I haven't played it either. But yeah, it sounds like it would be a really difficult space to design in. And there wouldn't be a lot of folks doing that because it is... Like, when you're thinking about it from a strategic standpoint, you want to be focused on the car or the engine, like we're talking about with Heat, or on your weapons or hit points, like with Thunder Road. So you're actually focusing on your vehicle a lot more than on the road and how you're reacting to the road.
It just struck me, is golf a racing game?
The game of normal golf.
Yes.
With hitting balls into holes. In some ways, because you have how much you hit above and below par. Not to talk about golf too much.
Well, golf is the biggest parallel for what we're doing in the board games, almost.
Yeah, because like...
One move at a time, getting closer and closer. How many turns can you get, does it take you to get...
To each checkpoint.
Yeah. Golf being totally non-interactive. Golf is robo-rally.
Got it. Golf is robo-rally.
Golf.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yep. No notes.
Yeah.
Love it.
I got a golf board game long ago, never really played it, but I'm curious if it would have been interactive at all with other players, or if it's just like, no, just do your best.
Yeah, so if you could combine golf with dexterity, with interaction, there it is. There's a game. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
One other thing I've noticed about these games is, racing games, is it's quite good to have some situations where you want to go really fast, and other situations where going really fast is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If going fast is always better than going slow, then, you know...
Go fast.
It's a pretty bland game. But, like, in Heat, you've got corners. You have to slow down for the corners, and that's really interesting because, like, you want to slow down, but you want to stay in a high gear so you can speed up right after sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or use them to get rid of heat by going in lower gear. In Robo Rally, there are some hazards where you don't really want to go fast.
Or you want to go a specific speed, like if you're getting a ramp and you don't want to go too far.
Yeah, I suppose mostly it's wanting to go at a specific speed
in
Robo Rally because you really want to get to exactly the space you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thunder Road, you go too far ahead, the helicopters will shoot you down.
They will descend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... Maybe we could also take a step back and think about, like, what are other race games that we've played, or like it probably everyone's first racing game they played was like Trouble or Sorry. Oh. As a kid, you know, you are racing around the board in these roll and move games. I don't know.
You know, Sorry is an interesting one because much like I remember playing Sorry as a kid, and one of the things back then that struck me about it versus like Monopoly or Candyland was that it felt way better in that if I remember correctly, the way it works in Sorry is you draw a card and then you can use that. I think you can use that to move one piece, or you can split it between. Or no, some of them you can split.
Man. It's been too long for me to remember.
I thought it was just rolling dice, but.
I thought Sorry is drawing cards. Am I misremembering? Mm. What am I thinking of?
I played Trouble more, the Pop-O-Matic.
I remember
so
the
maybe
pop.
I'm thinking of that.
I think Sorry is cards, and some of them have special effects.
Sure, sure.
But just the ability to use the card on any of your pieces instead of having to use it on one piece.
Kind of like Thunder Road.
Yeah.
Like Thunder Road, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's a huge improvement to random movement.
Right.
Because now you have the choice of which piece you move. And we talked about that a little bit on Thunder Road, but...
Actually, I'll give a throwback to one of the oldest games, if not the oldest game that we can track, is the game of Ur.
Ur.
And you use these, actually they're D4 shapes, but they're really only a coin flip dice. And you throw, I think, I don't know, maybe four of them and see how many spaces you move based on that. So maximum four, minimum zero. And the way that one works, I actually think is more interesting than Sorry or Trouble or what. Well,
should we do a prehistoric game series?
Prehistoric. It is actually close to Trouble, in that you have like seven pieces you can move at in, choose between. They all start at the beginning, but, there's like the board kind of goes, in a little bit of a line there's one line in the middle that you can both race on, and if you hit someone else, you knock them out.
Mm.
But you also sort of have your own zone that you're moving in towards the center on.
Okay.
You just got to look at it. It's a strange board shape.
Gotcha.
But yeah, there was more strategy than I thought there would be for a game that's like 4,000 years old.
Yeah, they didn't have Monopoly then. How did they get to that point?
Yeah. So, people like racing games.
People do like racing games. Human instinct.
I will say, did I already say this? I don't like racing video games.
Oh.
I was actually big into racing video games for a hot minute when I was younger.
Okay. What's your hot take on them?
I don't know. I could never get into them. I mean, I guess I kind of enjoyed Lego Racers 2, but that was mostly, or not Lego Racers 1. That was mostly because of the power-ups, which are pretty interesting in that game. But like Mario Kart never really appealed to me.
I'm a Mario Kart fan, but
I know. I know most people like Mario Kart. I just don't.
It's okay. I mean,
a lot of people like Super Smash Brothers too. You know.
Yeah.
I do like Super Smash Brothers.
For me, like racing video games and thinking about the ones I loved the most would be like Mario Kart, often because of the fun levels and fun like weapons.
Sure.
I loved San Francisco Rush because there's like all these hidden paths you could go on.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
one thing that, I don't know, this is a bit of a tangent, but board games, if you could get that feeling of like, ooh, I discovered a secret area that I can race through, and I feel super clever because I found this path. But like racing board games, I don't know how you would do that exactly.
Have a secret path. You know, it's interesting. You have to kind of borrow from other games to get there, I think. One of which I played was Descent 2, the second Descent game. They had different areas that you could accidentally discover by turning them over. So you'd have to kind of, I think, combine it with Thunder Road hazard thing where you have unknown information on the board, and if you go over it, it actually is a benefit and gives you a shortcut as you spit out somewhere else.
Sure.
Or have abstract space. And
abstract space in racing games.
Yeah, so like instead of having like, you know, a regular board a that track. You move around, yeah. Have different spaces that are connected to each other in Ooh. Ways that are maybe not immediately obvious. And then finding a shortcut is a matter of analyzing the connections to figure out which ones are shortest.
I would definitely need to see that because, man, is my brain exploding.
One of my favorite examples of a game with really cool abstract space is Homeworlds from the Looney Labs Ice House Pyramids. Either of you know Homeworlds?
Video game?
No. This is a board game.
Homeworld is a video game too, I think. But
yeah, this is a board game.
Yeah.
And the way that it's not a racing game. And the space is somewhat limited, but basically there are planets of three different sizes, and any two planets that are different sizes from each other are connected. So like a small planet, or maybe they're stars. I'll keep calling them. Actually, I think they are stars. But like you can move between a small star and a medium star, for example.
Okay.
But you can't move between two medium stars.
Mm.
And you each have a home system, which is a binary star. So like small, medium, or small, large.
Oh, okay.
So your home system is only connected to one type of star.
Sure.
Whereas stars are the single star systems are connected to two types. So it's harder to get to the home systems than...
Oh, interesting.
Hmm.
It's a pretty cool abstract space system.
Space system.
So I'm just thinking not that exactly.
Right, but having this logic that would allow you to take a shortcut.
Right.
Because it logically works.
Right, and then it's not obvious where the shortcut is because it's not in physical space.
It's in hyperspace.
I played a game called, I think, just Wormholes, and that had that feeling a little bit, maybe, of, yeah, there's all these wormholes on the board, and you're trying to figure out the best path to get from one to the other, but the ones you can warp to, I think, changes throughout the game, and you get more powerful in terms of like how many different wormholes you are able to get to throughout the game. It's not really a racing game either. But
yeah, so it's interesting looking outside of racing games to see what you can draw in. My favorite game, like when I was younger, was actually just the original Gran Turismo game. Or Gran Turismo, I actually don't know the pronunciation. And my favorite part was that you could upgrade your vehicles and like get new vehicles by winning races. And I loved that, and I was just obsessed with that. I would sit around a track for 500 laps, apparently, because those were the endless laps.
So maybe you would enjoy a legacy racing game.
At least 12-year-old Trevor would absolutely do that.
Yeah, are there any legacy or campaign racing games? I don't know.
Well, and how would you want that to be? Because the biggest creep you'd get then is if someone continues to win and get first place and get more money, they always win. So having good ketchup and mustard mechanics for that would be good to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... Maybe someday we'll talk about legacy games if we
can get to it.
Yeah, that is a huge design challenge. How do you keep the player in first from just taking it away?
Especially if it's a competitive game. Because I played Charterstone with my family, not to go on a complete tangent.
Hey.
But that was a big thing.
That's what this bonus episode's for.
Right? So you're able to upgrade your personal space because it's a worker placement game. And the more desirable you can make your space, the more people will use it, which will give you more access to more things, kind of. And it gives you cheaper access to those things, too, I believe. So, yeah, it's just a really interesting dynamic. But as it goes on, like, there does seem to be a little bit of one person being stronger than another. But there's a lot of twists in the rules as well that can really kind of offset that and change who gets more powerful.
Yeah. That is a design problem that... It does also relate to really racing games, I think. But this idea that, like, if you're doing well, you should be rewarded with fun stuff.
Yes.
But yet, if you're doing poorly and you're behind, how do you... You also need to catch up to them and also hopefully have fun stuff. But
which is when you introduce more chaos into the game, like racing games.
Yeah.
Having Thunder Road and all the bumping and all the thing, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess the... take down the leader is the kind of a primary way to do that.
Which is often just the group strategy. Shell.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, Mario Kart weapons, you get the best weapons if you're losing.
the bullet when you're losing, I think, is the best one because it just accelerates you to being like in the mix again.
Mm-hmm.
That's so great.
Yeah. What would you guys do for designing a racing game?
I would really want to play around with programming, I think. I know I talked about it a little bit in Robo Rally, but it's such an interesting space, but needing to, the biggest challenge being the time aspect for it, right? Especially a racing game, you kind of want to have more players potentially. Having like two players play a racing game doesn't necessarily feel great. It's like, well, someone's going to win between the two of us. It's like, well, if there's more chaos, more things going on, I really like that. But how do you have programming and more things going on or more players interact well together? And maybe there's a space for simultaneous reveal with that. I know I tried to do that with my old Archmagus game. My first prototype of that was a programming game where you'd all reveal simultaneously. But the amount of analysis that went into after that and, like, figuring out what would actually happen in what order was a bit of a headache. So, like, finding a good, smooth way to do that, I think, might be really interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think, well, I guess first would be figuring out what the sub-game is that's tied to moving around the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I imagine, I guess start off with, okay, you need to go around a circuit some number of times, you know, take advantage of the loop hero effect. But then also, much like in Heat, have some internal challenge that you're dealing with as you're going around the board. So I'm not sure what the internal challenge would be that you'd be focused on. But I think that would probably be key to figuring out the game.
Yeah. I was just thinking maybe what I would do is try to do a game where you're racing vertically upwards.
Oh.
And because I was thinking, how would you, like physically, maybe it gets harder and harder as you get higher and higher, and you're more likely to fall, which could mean have some fun,
you're
funny
free
moments.
Climbing the Empire State Building.
Sure, yeah. Or like, there's a phone game I played that was like, you're constantly trying to jump and keep hitting boosts that boost you upwards, sure. But it gets harder and harder as you get higher in the sky.
Sure, sure.
But that's a very fun physical thing to do. And board game form, I don't know, but I like the idea. Maybe it could be a vertical board physically.
Oh, too. Man.
Maybe some dexterity element too. But I kind of like that idea where maybe it wouldn't feel as bad if you're on top and you're more likely to fall down as kind of a catch up or keep the leader in place. Versus like there's no reason you would go backwards in a race game if it's on land unless you've really screwed up something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You put your bicycle into reverse on accident and you're backing up instead.
Seems, yeah.
Seems a little weird. Losing progress while you're climbing.
Yeah. Or like racing downwards in the sea thematically.
Mm.
What was the game? It's called something. So you're like diving down as a sub. I think it's a Oink game.
Oh. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Like you have to race down to the
bottom. Yeah, you're getting treasure.
Yeah,
right?
Get as many points as you can.
Yeah.
But you also have to make it all the way back to the surface.
Before something happens. I think like a round counters up or something. Is that it?
Yeah, or it might be more organically, like maybe when a player gets
to the
top or something like
that. That might be it.
Anyways,
but yeah.
I like Clank kind of too. I guess
sure.
Clank, mate, is that a racing game?
You're
sort of.
There is physical space. There's movement.
Yeah, it's some sort of combo-y thing.
I remember the first time I played Clank, I literally ducked into the underneath and grabbed the first artifact and ran back out. Like, I was afraid. I was so afraid of the dragon. I don't know why. It's like, oh my god, I don't want to die.
Yeah.
Like, I ran. I'm like, I still had like full health, like no treasures.
Yeah.
I definitely lost that one, by the way. So sometimes racing isn't about winning. Wait, well.
I wonder, I have a game called Wriggle, which is about worms in a garden.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I turned it into a racing game, what that would look like.
Ooh.
I like that idea. That might worms be racing. Just what that game needs, because I did feel when playtesting, like I liked the worms moving around, but it didn't have a direction as much.
Yeah, yeah.
Why go this way versus the other? Slightly strategy, different resources.
Yeah.
Worm racing would also be a hilarious twist.
It would be. I'd want more chaos out of it, though, then, too. More randomization.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels goofy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, cool. Racing games.
Racing games.
What a time.
I think we can probably put it... end that episode. I was going to say put a pin in it. No, I think we're good.
Put on the brakes. We're about ready to go through the finish line.
Thank you, Trevor, for all the puns.
I'll be here all week.
This series.
Well, yeah.
Yep. Do we want to make any announcements about any design challenges coming up? Or? Yes.
So I am going to get into this, I promise. And I will be having a design challenge for racing games. We'll go over some of our individual kind of takeaways. And those takeaways will lead kind of the challenge as well. So, keep tuned. If on our Discord, which I believe we have a link on our website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best way, Discord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can actually talk to us directly too, which is fun. We like talking to people.
Yeah. And reach out, say hi.
Tell us about what you're working on, especially if it fits any of our episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
It's been fun seeing random people show up and say, like, what game they were inspired to do based on one of the topics we picked.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cool. Well, and until next time, when we decide on... Well, we do have an idea now of our next topic, but...
stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.